are the care compass, pointing hearts back home, turning quiet lonely rooms into places they belong. To the elderly, the wise, you give your steady light, careful care, caring compassion in the soft hours of the night.
It's Dame Nicole Brandon, and welcome back to Care Compass. For those of you that have been following the show, 4 years ago, I came across a time in my life where both my parents took ill at the very same time. My dad with cancer, and my mom was diagnosed with advanced stages of Alzheimer's on the very same week. And it has been a rocky roller coaster ride all the way through the past few years, and it has been a maze of healthcare and insurance and medical supplies and on and on, and doctors and medicine and vitamin and dietitians. And for those of you out there whose parents are at that stage of their life where they are aging and you are becoming the caretakers, and this is a whole new world for you, and you are now taking care of your parents, the people that took care of you. You are now the responsible party for making sure they are safe, they are healthy, they are well, and that they are leading their very best lives. And what I learned most in this journey is that you can't do it alone, that nobody, there is no superhero child that can, on their own, navigate the aging parent. And I am very blessed because I have had tremendous help over the past few years with my parents. And without these people, I'm sure that my parents would not be here and I would not be here. I would be in a little rubber room right now and probably not even know my name. So, today we're bringing on a very special guest, and I know I had so many questions. What is, you know, home health? What is hospice? And you know, what are their responsibilities? And how are people trained? And how do you even find somebody? And so, today we are talking with Alexis Cruz, and Alexis is the creator, the owner, the lighthouse for PP Cruz. And I can tell you, I went through 9 agencies before I found her. And I can tell you everything that was wrong with those 9 agencies. And I can spend the rest of my life in the next 100 million years telling you everything that is right with PP Cruz and Alexis and her team. And so she's generously offered to join me today to be able to give information to you to help you be able to navigate finding a caregiver, how care works, what to look for, what are the best practices, and how you keep your own sanity in the process, which is so important at this time. So, Alexis, thank you so much for being with us today. And thank you so much for swaddling me and taking care of me all of these years, because I could not be breathing right now. I could not be doing what I'm doing right now. I couldn't be helping other people if you didn't help me. So I owe you the world of gratitude.
Welcome, Ms. Nicole. I'm so very, very happy. And I remember I cried when I found out that I'm the one who's going to take care of your mom when you called me, because I've been looking for her for so many months when, you know, something happened to her. And I keep on seeing your dad walking along because they're one of my favorite patients in Atria at that time. So I was really, really happy, you know, when Atria called me that they're going to be, that they're going to introduce me to you, because I've been looking for her for so long.
Oh, thank you. You know, for those of you that are listening, Atria is the assisted living community in which my parents chose to live at. And I went through agency after agency after agency after agency. And it was heartbreaking that these are agencies and people that tell you that they're going to care for your parents, and then they're not. They're just not. They're not getting healthier or better or stronger or And then Atria itself said, let me recommend this agency to you, PP Cruise. And not only did they recommend you, but they said that you create miracles. And you've told me about that, people that were in hospice and got back up. And so, what is, first of all, thank you for being you. Thank you. And for your team. And so, what does that look like, one care agency to another care agency, for somebody that is me, whose parents are aging and parents need help? What's the first step?
It's a baby step, of course, but you need to look for an agency that is not just looking for someone to take care of them. Because for me and my team, we're not just looking for a job. We're looking for something that we can build our relationship with. That's different. And if you can see, even late at night, and I remember before when Mr. Norman, something happened to him, even if it's in the middle of the night, I'm the one who went there to check on him. Because for me, I don't treat my clients just a client. I treat them like family. So of course, not all my clients, their families are nearby. That's why I make sure if the family is too far, I'm the one who's, going, I'm the one, I'm being the one who's going to be their representative if needed. And what I do is I do surprise visits just to make sure that my caregivers are really taking care of my patients. Of course, if it's going to be my parents, I want them to be very the care will be different. The routine will be different. That's why sometimes if you visit, sometimes I'm there, sometimes I'm not, even
Right.
if it's too late. Because for
And
me, they're really special to me.
you've gone above and beyond. You'll come, you'll bring, flowers or gifts or candy to my dad, or you have remembered special occasions or things that are meaningful for them. And I know that you've tried to find caregivers that match them. Which is,
Yes.
it's not just a caregiver. Like my dad needs someone that tells jokes and sings to him, someone
Yes.
that's very
They need to
active.
match. That's
And my
true.
mom needs someone very patient and very kind and non-threatening and someone that makes her feel safe. And so, what does that look like when you're matching a caregiver to, to a patient or to someone's parents? Like, I call you and what is,
So just like what I've said, I do surprise visits because, of course, I cannot control what the caregiver can give or what the caregiver can think. So just to make sure that they're going to match, I'm doing surprise visits because sometimes the caregiver, if they know that somebody's coming, of course, they're going to be very hands-on. They're going to be like full attention. But if they know that nobody's coming, at least you can touch them offhanded. So, I mean, red-handed. I mean, that's why sometimes like around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, I still visit. Even especially in Atria, just to make sure that my patients are well covered. Because what if especially your parents, both of your parents are 24 hours? I know they need full attention, especially your mom. There are some cases that your mom is wide awake at night, and I've been suggesting to put a camera because, of course, if your mom has a camera, the caregiver will be wide awake. But I know you're not open to that, unlike with your dad. So what I do sometimes, I do surprise visits like around 3 or 2 a.m. because I want to make sure that your mom is being changed. We need to change her at least 2 to 3 times a night. I don't want to have a bed sore. So that's what I do, just to make sure that they're matched, or before the shift ends, I just wanted to check, if how are they taking care of my patients, especially your mom. I can easily read her when she's very sweet, but you can see it in her face, when she doesn't like someone. She will smile at that person, but suddenly she will roll her eyes. So I've known her. She's my miracle baby. So that's why I'm so hands-on with her. She's my special one. So yeah, that's what I do. I make sure that even if it's too late, even if I'm very, very tired, if I feel that I need to check on someone, especially if the caregiver is new on her team, I'll make sure I need to visit it. I'm going to see, even if it's too late or early in the morning. That's what I do.
That's wonderful. And what are the responsibilities? So if somebody's looking to get care, what how would care help?
So at least we can give of course, if the patient has a family, they can relax. If they know that somebody is taking care of their parents, with good routines, of course, you're not going to worry. You're going to be carefree. So that's a difference. That's a big difference.
And they bathe them, they take them to doctors, they make food,
Yes.
they clean. What are some of the things people would be looking for a care service for?
Aside from basic housekeeping, yeah, driving to the doctors, please, especially with your mom's care team, most of my care team with her are clinicals. So they can easily talk to the doctors and then know the routine that you need to do with your mom and your dad. So
And what
aside
does that
from,
mean? What does that mean, clinical? Sorry for interrupting you.
yeah, so for clinical, some of my caregivers are not just a regular caregiver. I make sure that they have a good background when it comes to clinicals, like some of them are real nurses. So I make sure that, some of them are from a nursing school. But of course, they're also licensed as a home care aide. But I want to make sure they have a good background or they have been a caregiver for too long. They really are well trained for, especially for dementia patients, Alzheimer's patients. It's very special. We want to make sure that they've taken care of a patient like that for like 10 to 15 years, just to make sure. Or they are well trained from a boarding care because it's different. It's not just for companion. Especially with your mom, we need to make a routine, especially when that time she was on G-tube, and now at least she was eating on her own. So there's a big impact. There's a big difference.
Absolutely. And so when somebody gets trained for Alzheimer's or for dementia, what does that look like? They know their patterns, they know their rages. How do they help them? How do they keep them safe?
Because if a caregiver is well trained with that or been with an Alzheimer's or dementia patients, they know when they move their eyes, when their body movements, you can easily see if they're not happy, if they're agitated, or if they need more attention. Especially with your mom, when she's agitated, you can see if she wants to go to the bathroom because with her, she can express herself. There are times she can express herself, but most of the time she can't. So when she's like folding her blanket, that she wants something. Either she's hungry or she wants to use the bathroom. That's why I want to make sure that your mom's care team are matched to her. But it took me a while too, yeah, before we matched the caregivers. And I'm so happy you're open to like changing the caregivers until we find the perfect match for her. And of course, we
That's
want to make sure that before we add a new person, that person needs some training, some shadowings, just to make sure, the routine will still be the same.
great. And then how do when people are looking for a care agency, what should they be looking for, and what are telltale signs not to hire an agency? What are things they should avoid? What are the pitfalls of hiring a care agency?
Of course, everybody will give you promises that they're going to give full attention. Of course, they can ask around, or aside from that, I know it's really hard to ask around, or just you just need to make sure that the owner itself is very hands-on. they're fast to response, they're fast to, and they take responsibility when something came up. Because not everybody's perfect. Sometimes, a caregiver can make a mistake, and we need to take responsibility out of it. Or we need to ask fast. If something happens, you need to change a caregiver within an hour maximum. So that's why sometimes if something happens, I remember, and your dad is very special. I remember I went to take the whole shift because I can't just change a caregiver. So that you need to make sure that the agency is always on top and the admins.
That's great advice. And what's the difference between home care and hospice? Because I know that's a big question for a lot of people that are listening right now. And what is the difference, and when do you choose one over the other?
For hospice focus on comfort if it's in the end of life. Like if the doctor sees that the patient will only live for only 6 months, so of course they need full attention with spirit. That's why most of the time the agency sends spiritual counselor, and we only focus for comfort. When it comes to home care provides only care, just like us. I'm a home care agency. So home care agency sends caregivers. So that's the difference between hospice and home care. Or you meant home health.
Both,
Oh,
yeah, so.
yeah. So home health focuses when the patient is still, we need to stabilize the patient. Because hospice is all for the end of life. And for home health, we can still make the patient, like the patient can still see her primary or his primary doctors. Home health follows the patient at home after the hospitalization or after getting out of the rehab. That's why we need to send physical therapists for them to bounce back and be stable again. Unlike for hospice, we only focus on comfort care.
Okay, and does the care agency or the caregivers work with the home health agencies? Do they work with the doctors? How do they interact, or are they totally separate entities, or do they help schedule appointments?
Yeah, so caregivers, we do like with your mom, especially if me most of the time. If we can see that we need to call the doctor's office, yes, we do. We coordinate with her doctor's appointment. I know because we're non-medical, so we also check on her medication management. But it's mostly the home health and hospice who does the medication management. We just remind the patient to take it. So that's what the caregivers do. We help the patient coordinate with the doctor's office. And if we need to drive the patient going to the doctor's office, we also assist the patient, especially if the family member can't come with the patient if needed. So we support them, we support the family.
That's great. I know that it's been important to me, and you've worked very hard with me on this,
Especially, you're always too far.
that there's
Yeah.
a consistency in the doctor visit, the same caregiver that takes my parents to a particular doctor be the same caregiver that goes back the next time and the next time, because then they're able to track it. They're able to follow the patterns. They're able to listen and know what the doctor is recommending. And then they could say the progress or any changes since that last appointment. And so I think that that's been really vital, for me and in their care, the fact that somebody is actually following and knows the difference and knows the protocol. Or like you're saying, that my mom sometimes communicates by folding the blanket or by smiling or nonverbal communication. And I think having a caregiver that is not just a babysitter and not just somebody that's coming to sit and make sure they don't fall, or they're, being fed, or that they're bathed and groomed and whatever that is. But literally the fact that somebody knows the signs and knows their needs and knows their personalities and knows their ebbs and the flows. Or even I know from my mom, she has sundowners. So she gets agitated at a certain time of the day. And to
Yes.
expect that, or for the caregivers to say she already walked today and now she's tired, so we're going to put her in a wheelchair because we don't want to, you know, somebody that can make those decisions that I would make myself or my parents. So that if I were with them right now, then I might say, she looks a little tired right now. I'm not going to have her walk again, or that she's agitated. And, you know, maybe we want to put on this movie or a particular kind of movie. Or like you said, she doesn't like the news, and the news bothers her, or violence bothers her, and she shouldn't be watching movies, you know, that have guns and whatever those things are. And so for a caregiver to actually jump in, if you're listening to this, there are things that you can not only request and not only talk about, but that the caregiver should be giving you impact. It was important for a caregiver to say, your mom doesn't like violent movies. She gets upset, or she doesn't like when the news is on, or at this time of day, she gets agitated, or I think she's too tired to be walking, you know, this many times a day. I think that caregivers, you know, especially the ones on your team, are very vocal. And they actually
They're
help
always on top.
navigate her care. They don't just care for her. They actually help make choices on things that are better practices, better ways of doing it, safety, you know, from safety from getting up, from walking, from safety equipment, from walkers and wheelchairs and bed frames and mattress pads. And so actually being able to do that. And then also, I know that all of you receive feedback so effortlessly when I share information and say that there's something I need. You really listen to my needs and you never shut me out. And especially when I get scared, you've given me the space to be scared quite often, right?
Yes, and we do understand that, of course. You really love her. So you just need to be an observer when you're going to take care of a patient, a special patient. You need to see the difference if she's very unhappy, if she needs something. So that's how it
And
is.
then one of the care agencies that I had hired prior to you, and we had talked about this sort of laughingly, but my dad is a fall risk, if you're listening to me right now, and your parents may have the fall risk, as most aging people are. They have the little necklaces that you push the button if you fall, and they have bars and all the safety, everything. But my dad fell and broke his neck, right? My dad is a huge fall risk. And we had a caregiver that had been hired prior to you, and she would walk ahead of him. She's a fast walker, and she'd walk ahead of him, and she was halfway down the hall, and he was behind in his walker. And I thought, how safe is that? Because the
That's
whole
true.
point of having a caregiver is that they are next to him, behind him, hanging on to him to make sure he gets off sidewalks, to make sure he gets up out of bed or out of a chair safely, sits in a dining chair safely. The whole point of having someone there is to make sure that he is safe and that he doesn't fall.
And
And
he
to have
walks so
someone,
fast.
yes, and to have someone halfway down the hall
Yes,
and
that's
not
true.
ahead of him, you know, doesn't make sense. Or when they sit to eat and for someone to leave, you know, if they're there by themselves, or if, you know, they have food safety issues like my mom does with swallowing. And if somebody is not sitting there making sure that she has just small amounts so she doesn't aspirate. And so, what is the best way? Because I don't know, I was always perfect at the way I've done it. If for somebody that's listening and they're hiring a care agency and they have a caregiver and it's scary. You know, so they don't know what the caregiver can do or can't do when they come in and the place is dusty, or they're, you know, the laundry is not done, or the place, whatever, they see that their hair is not brushed or their face isn't. How does somebody first say, these are the things you need? Because you don't even know what you need until the caregiver is there taking care of your parent. And then what is the right way to ask without making people wrong? And what is the best practice for us to be able to listen to a caregiver if a caregiver knows better than we do on how to take care of someone. What's the best way for the child of the parent to listen to the caregiver and to take notes or to buy something that's necessary if the caregiver thinks it's necessary? What is that best exchange going both directions?
Just like with you, Mystical, if my caregiver asks something or needs something, you listen to us. You can always try. I know there are sometimes that there are some cases that we ask, even if it's not, because we need to try, but we can never know if she really needs it if we're not going to give it a try. And just like us. There are some suggestions also from you. That's why I always tell my caregivers, if Nicole wants this one, if she suggests for us to do this one, we need to do it because with just like you're with your mom, you send us the books. Not all caregivers are aware that the patient needs it, but because we tried it, then now it's on her routine and it really helps her a lot. So both ways. It needs a good communication. And, there's nothing to lose if we're going to try it. So, for the families out there, if a caregiver suggests something, then we can give it a try. Because sometimes I know families are just going to block it off that, oh, my parents doesn't need this one. And it's the caregiver who's always by the patient's side. So, that's why sometimes the caregiver knows what's the best things for what's the best routine for the patient because they can see the progress, they can observe the patient, so there's not I don't think there's nothing wrong if we're going to do good communication about it.
That's a great answer because I know it's been a journey,
Yeah, it's I think it's 3 years
it
now. Yeah,
and
3 years
this,
or two
oh my
years.
gosh,
Yeah,
and
from your mom that she's totally like we can't even talk to her that time, I remember. Now she's walking, she's trying to run to
it.
run. If my caregiver is just not looking at her for only 1 minute, that's why my caregivers make is making sure that somebody is there if they needed to use the restroom.
Right. So
Because for me, 1 minute is very important.
it is, and that's
Yeah.
when we started with my mom, she was basically in a coma. She couldn't talk, she couldn't move her
Yes.
hands, she couldn't move her feet. There was no there was no recognition. We took her from rehab to the hospital. We put her in hospice. We took her out of hospice. We put her on home health. And she was in and out of the hospital,
Yeah.
constantly, and she couldn't swallow and she aspirated. And we fought, we fought to have the catheter removed. We fought to have the Foley removed. We fought to teach her to walk. We taught to teach her to talk. We taught to teach her to
Yeah.
write.
Even
And
to write now, she's writing
even
now.
to write, yes. And she,
Yeah.
so it's amazing. But the caregivers would do the daily exercises. That was another thing because the physical therapist would come once a week and do the exercises, and then she wouldn't progress, or my dad wouldn't progress in physical therapy and balance. But when the caregivers watch the physical therapist, and then every day they take your parents through those exercises, through the paces, if they do the puzzles, if they do the crosswords with them, if they read to them, if they're asking them about the past, if they're showing pictures and reminding them who is this and who is that and when was that
It
time and
helps.
what was that trip and evoking those memories. And so how important is all of that as a caregiver's duty for someone that's hiring a caregiver in caring for your parents?
Your suggestion before that we followed, it helped us a lot because for 12-hour shift, each shift for 24-hour care, aside from giving the patient a nice routine and a nice care, you can see that the time flies so fast. And our progress from bed bound to like that time I remember my caregivers can even remove her bare hands with your mom because we need to put the oximeter on her to make sure her oxygen is really stable from now that just trying to run away from my caregiver. She's even, I remember one time the dietitian is there. It's only like a few minutes, and suddenly she stands up already on her own. It's only a matter of minutes. So it's really important to have a routine because it can help them progress. And before she can even remember anything, but now she knows who she is, and she even remembers her husband and her family. So it's really important to have a routine. And her memories, I know it's not totally that it brought her back, but it helps a lot. You can see it with her. Now she's happy when, even her hair. I remember one time her eyebrows is not even, and she knows it. When she saw her face in the mirror, she's trying to count her eyebrows. So yeah, she was trying to count it. That's why we started laughing. That's a really big impact. That's why I'm so happy now with my new patients. I always make her as my example. I always tell them that she's my miracle baby, and if I'm going to have an incoming patient just like her, we're going to add that routine to the new patient because it really helps us a lot. Even the albums, the family pictures, it helps her a lot. And she knows it. Sometimes she remembers it, sometimes she's not, but most of the time she remembers. So now I'm surprised one time when I visited her, especially on her birthday, she knows how to read now. Unlike before, she can't read.
But that's the caregivers reading with her, really working with her every day. I mean, even with the little weights, the 1 pound, the 2 pound weights, and she'll hand them to you, and the counting. And sometimes the caregiver will send me a message and they'll say, "Miss Nicole, she doesn't want to exercise today." But then later on, they'll try again, or they'll do something, or they do play a game and inspiring, and all of a sudden the exercise. And so they don't just say, "Oh, she doesn't want to exercise," and they don't exercise that day. The caregivers really ensure that she's getting that care, that she's getting that motion, that she's getting that stability, that she's getting that strength, that every day she's growing, she's progressing in some way and being communicated to. And
Yes, it
then
helps her a lot.
what's the difference between daycare and night care for people that are hiring an agency?
With the daycare, of course, that's the number one important for the daily routine because it has a routine. It's a morning, but it depends upon the patient because there are some patients that are more awake, wide awake in the morning. So for the nighttime, for me, it's almost the same because what just like with your mom, sometimes she's more wide awake at night, and sometimes she's more wide awake in the morning. So I know with other patients, there's a big difference. But with her, we're trying to adapt with her daily routine. So the caregivers for the morning and the night shift, both should be wide awake. I know they can take naps, but they need to make sure that, when she moves. That's why some of my caregivers sleeps beside her. Or sometimes they're holding hands with her. Or when they can feel that the bed is moving, they're wide awake. Or sometimes even me. I do surprise calls with them. I just want to make sure that they're going to answer me. But I always think that both night and day are just the same. Because if we're going to think with other routines or other patients, for them, they think that nighttime care is the patient is just sleeping. But not all patients are asleep at night. So I just make sure that it's just the same when it comes to the level of care. Because like in the middle of the night when your mom is agitated or she's wide awake, my caregivers are reading books for her. I know you usually do it in the morning, but if she's agitated at night, yeah, that's what they do. And I always tell them if she's agitated at night, try to bring her to the bathroom. Maybe she just wants to use the restroom, or try to feed her. Maybe she's hungry, or try to read books for her. Try to give her the puzzles, or try to give her the albums, because sometimes she's more awake, wide awake at night, more than in the morning. Especially if she's not too, sometimes she sleeps during the day when she's so tired. So for me, I take it like just the same routines.
And I know your team has been very instrumental as far as like sending me list of medical supplies. These are the things that we need this week. And, saying this doesn't work. This walker doesn't work for this reason, or this is, the wheelchair, or you need a pad, or you need a bag for this. And is that standard for a care agency to do that? Or is that something special for your agency, or something that somebody that's listening to the show that's getting care for their parents, do they say make a list of their needs every week, or if they run out of diapers or bed pads, or can you let me know when something has to be ordered, or is that my responsibility because they're my parents and I need to do this, or what is the communication thread?
For me, with my caregivers, I always make sure that they're always on top when it comes to the supplies. I'm telling them, for example, with the diapers, if there's already like one or two packs left, you need to call the family member because sometimes family members are always busy. That's why there's an agency to offload your problems. And if we're going to add that supply problems with the family members, it's like you didn't hire an agency. That's why if you can observe, we're trying our best to always be on top when it comes to the supplies. It's not just helping us because it's really hard. For example, we run out of supplies. It's going to be also our problem because what if we need gloves and diapers and the family member cannot run to the shop just to or to the grocery store to buy some supplies. So it's going to be the patient and the caregiver who's going to be in big problem about it. That's why I always tell them if the gloves is running like only three boxes or two boxes, call the family member, even for wipes and also for diapers. All the supplies. I always tell my caregivers to be always on top. Or sometimes if there's really an emergency, if the family member cannot, sometimes, even if we order the supplies, sometimes they ignore. So sometimes we're trying to borrow from a different patient from next door, and then we're just going to bring it back or return it when we receive the supplies. Or sometimes me, I deliver it myself because I don't want the patient to suffer. We're trying to prevent the bed sores. When it comes to the diapers, if it's going to run out of the supplies.
I know
Because, for
that's right.
example, yeah, it's really important because if the patient have bed sores, it's going to be more complicated when it comes to my team. They're making their life hard. Unlike if the patient doesn't have sores, of course, you don't need to turn the patient every 2 hours. So it's going to be more work for us if we're running out of supplies and something happened to the patient. And that's why I always tell them, always make sure that my patients are, not going to have a fall. Because if something happens to the patient, either we're going to lose our job or we're going to lose the patient, or if the patient is going to be bedbound, it's going to be more hard for them because it's going to be, it's going to add more work for them. You need to turn the patient every 2 hours. You're going to change the patient in bed. You're going to shower the patient in bed. It's more work. Unlike if the patient is walking just like your mom right now, she's walking now. So there's a big difference. It's less work for them. And of course, now they can joke around, they can play with her. There's a big difference. It's like they won't feel that they're working for her. They will feel that they're just being a companion. So there's a big difference.
That's really lovely. And I know safety-wise, your agency has called me to say, we need a half rail, we need a full rail, we need a baby monitor, we need an alarm when they get up. I mean, so
Even a
safety.
camera.
So talk about safety. As far as is that my responsibility, the child's responsibility, is it the caregiver's responsibility? Who is the one that says, okay, they're not safe right now. They need this X, Y, and Z to be able to stay safe.
It's secure, it's the agency's responsibility. That's why I always tell my caregivers we need to make sure that our patients are well covered, our patients are safe. Because, like what I've said a while ago, it's more work for us if there's going to have a fall. It's going to be more complicated. Of course, if the patient can still walk, they can still go out, they can still go to the mall, and there's always like a happening, you know, they can watch the movies. Just like with your parents now, they're watching downstairs, unlike before, they're just inside the room. So it's going to, the caregiver will feel that it's less load for them. That's why I always tell them, always be on top of my patient's care. Because it's, I'm not going to suffer from it. It's not me who's working for them. It's them. I always tell them, or for example, I give them a warning and they don't listen. I always tell them, what if it's your parents? Are you going to be happy if you're going to give that level of care? Of course not. So I always tell them to make sure to treat our patients like their own family.
And you do. And thank you so much for that. And then financially, let's talk about the big chunk. So, does insurance cover caregivers or does extended care, or is that something that people set aside, or did different family members contribute to the care? Is there a matrix, or when people call you, do you help them get financing? I mean, it's a lot for someone that doesn't know. So I've gone through this now. I've gone through it. I know I'm on the other end, but for the people that are listening to us today or that are just stepping in this world or have had, like I did, all these care services that didn't work and they're looking for the right one, or they're just saying, oh gosh, I need more help and I'm going to need to hire a care agency soon, whether that's temporary or full time or 24 hours. What does that look like for someone, and where do they begin?
Just like with there are some cases that the family really doesn't have financial capacity to hire a private caregiver. So if it's totally zeros, medical can cover, but it's going to be you need to apply for it. So either hospice or home health can help them when it comes to IHSS. Yeah, so they can get in-home support. But with families that have long-term insurance, then it's better. So if a family that if they can feel in the future they needed it, I think long-term insurance really helps a lot because I have a lot of patients that's under long-term insurance. And me as an agency, I know we don't bill it, but we do help the family when they need what they need so they can claim the pay. Because just like with your parents, they have long-term insurance. So what they
Right.
do, what we do, we coordinate with them, you know, we coordinate. We if they needed us to send the full statement, then we're going to send it. If they ask for a copy of our certificates or insurances or license, we're giving it so that it will, you know, they can claim smoothly. We always help the family.
That's terrific. And are there, is there, places that you can go to, I don't even know how to say it, where you can make payments. Like, let's say somebody needed, care for a short time for rehab or something like that. Are
But
there payment plans or?
for rehabs, insurance has covers it. Like with for example, the patient came out from the hospital and they needed to go to a skilled nursing facility and rehab. Yeah, insurance covers it. Except for
Okay.
the private caregivers. Yeah, it's going to be out of the pocket or it's going to be paid with long-term insurance.
And then, how does it work when one of a caregiver drives someone to the doctors? Do you pay for the gas? Do you bill for the gas, or do people pay for the gas or parking and things like that? Because I know that's a big deal to have a caregiver take your parents to the doctor, and sometimes there are hospitals, and sometimes you have to pay at the hospital for the parking and then going there. It could be a long ride going, and you have handicap stickers, and what does that look like?
So it depends. If the patient is in assisted living, then we're requesting for the family to request for transportation from the assisted living to make it more or less liability from us. Or if needed, if we need to drive for the patient, then we're billing them for the mileage. But sometimes we don't. It depends upon the case. But most of the time, we don't bill the family. Especially if the patient is already 24-hour in our care, we don't bill the family. Except when it comes to parking, yes, we bill the parking tickets. But when it comes to mileage, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Especially if it's not too far, then we're not going to bill it. It's already covered. It's like a help with the family, especially if the patient will be long with, I mean, it's going to be long term with us, so we don't bill it.
And do you do couples? Like, can you see two people at once? Do you have a caregiver? Is that like a different rate when you do that? Or if somebody is bringing you into their home and they have two parents in their home, but they just need some extra care, or the wife doesn't cook anymore, or she doesn't clean very well anymore. What does that look like?
Actually, I have some cases that I have a patient right now in Irvine, other couples. So I know the care for us is just for the husband. But of course, we both love them. So we always add the care for the wife, especially for meal preparation. If the wife needs something, we're also adding it, but we're not billing for both. But there are some cases that, the patient really, both of them really needs close monitoring, or both, we need to be hands-on with them. Because especially if the wife is not stable and then the husband is not stable already, then we need to have separate caregivers. We don't suggest one caregiver and then we're just going to bill for both. It's going to be a big risk. And it's going to be, of course, if something happens to the patient, sometimes it gives them a big risk. It's not going to heal anymore, especially if they're like 70 up. If they fall, then broke their bones, sometimes it heals, sometimes it doesn't. So it's a big risk. So I'm always telling the family, I can do one caregiver for both patients, but we're still going to suggest two caregivers and, we're going to observe. And then if we can cover only one caregiver for both, then I'm going to tell the family. Then we're just going to bill or extra for the other one. I have a patient before that she's on a 24-hour care, and I observed that the patient only needs 12 hours only. Then I told the family member, for now, we can cut the hours to 12 hours, and if I can feel that the patient needs 24 hours, then we can bring it back to 24 hours.
That's wonderful. That's really special that you can do that and sort of navigate
Yes,
that time.
yes.
It's terrific. And and before we get to the top of the hour, how do people find you? I mean, if your agency is so far superior, and I hope if you are in a different state listening to this, that you find an agency just like PP Cruise, that you're listening to the things that Alexis is sharing with you, as far as that. What I really heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard one of the most important things that the owner of the agency is involved, that
That's
you are
true.
taking responsibility for those clients, for those patients, that you stop by periodically and do checks, random checks, even if it's 1 or 2 in the morning or in the middle of the night, to make sure that everybody is handled correctly, to make sure that people are clean, to make sure that, that they are being treated well and that they look healthy and strong, and that the caregivers are on top of everything, that the people that you hire are licensed, that they're bonded, that they've been trained and especially trained in specialties, as if somebody has Alzheimer's or dementia or whatever that might be, Parkinson's, or if they're wheelchair bound, or if they're in hospice, that the people that you are hiring are trained specifically for that care you are giving them. Correct, that was something that you were sharing, and that you also have people that are RNs or nursing students that are capable of
Yes.
doing that as well, that making sure that supplies are there, that people don't run out of supplies, and making sure that everything that their needs are being met in advance of them needing their needs, and the caregiver suggesting ways to keep them safe and make them healthy, and things that might make the journey better, as well as listening to the children that Medi-Cal, which I did not know, can pay for it, that insurance, if people don't have money, they can get this care through their insurance or through Medi-Cal or through long-term insurance, and that you'll assist in the billing and in the process of that. And for you, how do people find you and your agency, which I would highly recommend to anyone who is watching or listening to this podcast, go to PEP Cruise, because I can tell you, I am a different person because of you. I can breathe, I can smile, I can laugh, and both my parents have flourished under your care, and you've kept them safe and happy, and your caregivers have just done remarkable work every second of every day, day and night. They have been so diligent, and so I'm grateful beyond words, more words than I could ever put into a show or a lifetime. But please tell people how they could find you and your agency.
Me, so I think they're going to post my number, right?
We will, yes, we will post
So
everything.
they can
Yes.
contact us. So we cover also Los Angeles, and we cover Orange County up to the Valley, and also up to San Diego. We cover that. And if needed, even if it's too far, I can still send a caregiver. Even for San Francisco, yes. So if it's
That's
except for me, maybe sometime I'm still thinking if I can cover out of state, then we're going to be happy to cover it if there's going to be a client.
You know,
So
I would, if you are out of state and you're looking for someone, to come in full time, or caregivers or a team to come in, I would recommend that you reach out to Alexis, and even reach out to Alexis, just maybe even hire her for a consultation before you hire a care agency if you
caregiver.
are in a different state, because she cares. This show is about the care compass, and Alexis truly cares, and she's diligent with me and really has opened my eyes to so many things that I never knew and I never saw. And you don't know if this is not your business, if care is not, caring for an aging parent is not your livelihood and your full-time business. It's crazy, because there's so much you don't know. And every day there is a new challenge. Every day there is something you didn't know. Oh, they can get bed sores. Oh, their feet. Oh, their toenails need to be clipped. Oh, this is what's going on. Oh, they need dental care and whatever. And they need a different kind of hygiene. Oh, they broke their neck and they can't be in the dentist chair. They can't lean back to get their hair washed. So you need a special basin to wash their hair because they have a fracture. I mean, there's so much to the care. There's just so much to it. And so even if you just wanted a consultation, and so I know we are wrapping up the show, but I just wanted to say thank you, Alexis, from the
Welcome,
bottom of my
Seiko.
heart. And if you have questions out there, reach out to me. I'm happy to connect you with Alexis. We will definitely post for her. And anything that you are interested in the future, any questions on care, send them to me. We will bring you the experts. We know all the experts now across the nation and internationally in the Aging Parents Survival Guide and the Compass, and we will find the specialist for you. And I just wanted to say thank you, Alexis, for being with us today. And thank
Thank you
you
for
for
choosing us, Miss Nicole. I know I
feeling
started
your.
with your mom. Now we both have them. And I'm really, really happy.
And please thank your team for me as well. And to all of you out there, we will see you on the next show. I'm wishing health to your parents, healing to your hearts, love, family, and stay strong. You're doing a great job out there. I know you are, because you're listening to the show. So you care enough to get the right information to be able to help them. And that alone says something magical. So blessings, right? And
Thank
your
you, Miss
story
Nicole.
begins today. Thank you. We will see you all on the next
Okay.
episode of Hair Compass. Thank you.
Thank you.
You are the care compass, pointing hearts back home, turning quiet, lonely rooms into places they belong to the